The first full week of the 2024 season is just about in the books. We have our first no-hitter, the earliest in MLB history, and this week in baseball was a dynamic one.
Hi, welcome to Almost Cooperstown.
I'm Mark.
And this is Gordon. And we love talking about baseball.
So, you know, Ronel Blanco was a guy, 30-year-old guy, who the Astros, you know, kind of just, you know, had out there because they didn't have other guys.
Because they needed a guy to make a start.
They wanted other guys to pitch that couldn't pitch. And he goes out and he throws a no-hitter.
Right. The earliest no-hitter thrown in any major league season. A pretty dominant performance overall from him in that game, you know, just really cruised through that lineup. There were only a couple spookily hit balls, I guess you would say. And just congratulations to him and throwing a no-hitter.
And the Astros, I think I saw someplace that over the past, I don't know, 3 or 4 years, they have 7 no-hitters, which is as many as everybody else combined.
Right, so what are they doing down there to get all these no-hitters?
So they throw a lot of no-hitters, I guess. And fortunately, there were no umpire calls in that game that were close, or like the, you know, the famed Galarraga play that cost
no,
him.
Thankfully.
The no-hitter.
The umpires have struggled to start this year, haven't they?
That's what I'm kind of hearing, that, you know, there's some strange calls, and you wonder, as we look at the future of ABS, automatic balls and strikes, in the major leagues, if the umpires are reacting to the anticipation of the future ABS in the leagues and trying to anticipate, you know, what's going to be a strike so that they, you know, are ahead of the game, so to speak.
There's been a lot of comments. I know that an umpire had a particularly poor game yesterday and people were really commenting on it. But I do also feel for the umpires because they're being scrutinized in a way that they were never were before. And umpires, you know, back in 1980, didn't have umpire report cards coming out the next day grading every single one of the calls that they made.
I would think
that's
got
to be hard.
The umpires will embrace this because they want to be right. Right. And we said this in our podcast last week, just before that the problem is that it's not easy to have this ABS thing be agreed to by everybody. We're not there.
No,
they've been running it in the minor leagues, but they can't get it right in the major leagues.
One of the biggest issues is that it doesn't look good on TV yet. The box representing the strike zone on TV doesn't always match with what the ABS system will call strikes. So it can be very disconcerting to the viewer because it'll be like, well, why wasn't that a strike and why was that a strike?
Here's something I heard this past week, that the idea was maybe you give the umpires pitch com and they know what pitch is coming. So if they know he's throwing a slider, they're looking for the break on a slider instead of sometimes like a batter can be surprised by a pitch. Right? So couldn't an umpire be surprised by a pitch as well? He's only, you know, a few inches behind the batter.
I mean, I don't see why that would be an issue.
Right. And so you think about the idea so that, you know, they can be fooled, and the idea is to not fool the umpires and to have them have a chance to actually call the pitch more accurately. And I think that that's an interesting idea.
I mean, I like it.
So, you know, we went to the lines in tennis, right? We knew that the human eye can't see a tennis ball or hit a line
at that speed.
They can't see. Well, it's the same thing, I got to believe, for an umpire. Looking at 95 mile an hour fastball.
It's like the same speed.
So that it's almost impossible to be able to see it with confidence. And so the pitch com might help them a little bit, but ABS would take it to the next level.
I think that's the only way you're ever going to get close to 100% accuracy on this, just because the human eye can't possibly catch up to the fastballs that these guys are throwing, especially now that guys are getting well over 100 a large majority of the time.
So some injuries that happened this week besides the pitching injuries that we talked about.
Pitching injuries are obviously the big ones because you saw guys like Spencer Strider,
Bieber,
Yuri Perez, and Bieber all go down. So you've got a lot of big-name pitchers go down, but there have also been some position players that have taken some big injuries as well. Geraldo Perdomo, Diamondback shortstop, went out with a knee injury today on Sunday. So I think we're still learning about what that's going to be. We don't exactly know yet.
Josh Young of the Rangers broke his wrist on Monday night last week.
After missing so much time last year with another injury, it just sinks that, you know, now he's going to miss a ton of time this year for one as well.
So and injuries always play a role in the season, but those are big injuries to, you know, big teams
Big name players, and you hate seeing that early on in the season.
So I don't know about today. I didn't look at the stats from last night. Has Anthony Rendon got a hit yet?
I don't know.
He started the season 0-for-19.
And it's hard to do much worse.
We kind of get on him on this podcast. We're not the only ones to get on Anthony Rendon, who seems rather, as I always say, disinterested in baseball for the much part.
He does have some hits. He got 3 hits.
Okay, he's got 3. Well, that's good because he was 0-for-19 to start the season.
He's 3-for-29. He's better than Lindor right now. He was 3-for-36.
Yeah. Well, he has a home run, though.
He got a home run today.
And today on Sunday, I believe the Marlins finally put one in the win column, which is good because I think that they are...
For them current manager of the year, Skip Schumacher.
Yeah, that was then 0-9, I think they started. So, you know, essentially their season is over. Now, the Mets started 0-5. And, you know, the Met fans are trying to figure out, okay, so does that mean the season's over? It's only 5 games. And then I read just 3 of the 90 teams in Major League Baseball history who started the season 0-5 made it to the postseason. Ooh. 1974 Pirates, the 95 Reds, the 2011 Rays. None of those teams won the World Series, by the way.
Oh, well,
an additional 12 teams managed to win 84 or more games, which is what it took to make the postseason last year in the NL. So because more teams make it, the 0-5 doesn't quite doom you making the playoffs, but yeah.
Things are not looking up in Metland.
So that's not a good development for the Mets there. And I think that, you know, from the standpoint of the standings themselves, already things are shaking out that after like 10 days, you know, that seems like, well, the Yankees are in first place. That's
the Yankees
surprise.
Are off to a great start. They're thrilled with how things are going. And you're certainly, if you're looking at the AL Central, you're surprised by the fact that the Twins are really struggling out of the gate. Now, they've not played a ton of games.
Yeah, and right, they've only played 7 games. And because the Guardians and the Tigers got off to a good start, you know, you see them mired, if you will, in fourth place. Now, they're 3 games out of them.
Right, it's still really not getting early. But as much as we were saying, you know, previously that last year's the Pirates' hot 20-8 start didn't mean anything, you can't kind of sleepwalk your way into the first or second week of May and then wake up and start playing good baseball. Yes, teams have done it, but it makes things really hard on yourself.
I would on the other side of that, though, I'd say if one team could sleepwalk through one division, it might be the Twins through the AL Central.
Exactly.
So, you know, I don't expect the Guardians, who have let it all go their way, except for now. Bieber's out, so that's a huge loss for them.
You might say that about the AL Central, but can you say that about the Astros and the AL West? They're down there with the Athletics right now.
Right. I mean, they're tied, as we hear on Sunday. They haven't played yet today, I don't think. And they're 2-7 at this point, and so they could be 2-8 or 3-7 going into Monday's games next week. And I think they have so many pitchers that are injured that I think you can't evaluate the Astros right now.
No, but at a certain point, you can be buried too much by the time you get the pitchers back. Yeah, Justin Verlander is coming back, but if you're so far behind by the time he re-enters the pitching rotation, does it really make a difference?
Well, and they're finishing up what I thought was, it's actually a 4-game series, so they have a wraparound series with the Rangers.
Blanco is actually pitching today on Sunday. He's probably starting, probably pitching right
now.
They
play the night game here on Sunday night, and then they play on Monday, so that's a 4-game series, and they lost the first 2. You know, I don't care who you are. You don't want to lose a 4-game series.
2-9 feels a lot different than 3-8 or 4-7.
100% agree with that. So they won't be buried. And by the way, the Angels are in second place at 5-3, and ain't nobody here, I would think, that they're going to sustain that for any length of time. So, I think, you know, the Orioles are fine. The other teams are just going to – the Red Sox got off to a good start, but I don't expect them to hang around, as we've already discussed. The Braves, are at the top of the National League.
And that's just sort
nobody's
of,
surprise.
Sort of, well, it's also sort of just born out of playing the Phillies to start the season, so whoever won that series was just going to be coming out of the gate hot.
And they're second because the Nats, the Mets, and the Marlins are combined 4-21.
Yeah, they really stink.
So, actually, the Mets won today.
They're the NL East for a reason. And the NL Central has been one of the best divisions in baseball with lots of their teams playing very well.
Yeah, and I guess I'm most surprised by the Brewers, who came in and beat the tar out of the Mets to start the season.
I believed in them.
I still question their pitching long term.
Very fair thing to question.
And all the teams that are picking the Cardinals, I would say that the Cardinals 5-4 start is pretty good.
Right, that's about where I kind of expected them to be.
In fact, all the teams in the NL Central as of on Sunday here are above 500. Well, that's a little interesting.
That's interesting. No other team can boast that for another division.
As opposed to the National League West, where only one team is over 500. That would be the Dodgers. And then, yeah, everybody else.
The Rockies, we expected them to be there. Yes, but I think the Padres and the Diamondbacks struggling as much as they are. I think the Diamondbacks having a bit of a World Series hangover isn't that surprising. Young team.
They've done a lot of smart things. I think they're going to be fine.
I think they're going to be. No, I'm not worried about them. I'm just saying I'm not surprised that they're stumbling a bit out of the gate. That seems to kind of make sense to me.
Right, and the other thing that really struck me, and particularly in the American League, you have two teams that have not played a home game yet. So the Red Sox, we talked about their long road trip to start the season, but I didn't realize that the Blue Jays also haven't played a home game yet.
Right, the Red Sox are handling it great. The Blue Jays, not so much.
So then the Blue Jays are finishing up their series with the Yankees in New York on this Sunday here. So that'll be the first 11 games on the road. I assume they're going home to open the season. The Guardians also have played all their games on the road and done quite well.
So they're thrilled to go back
home. So they haven't played a game at home yet either. So what a weird way to start the season with three teams in the league not having played a home game as we're into
the third week.
Is this the third week of the season? I mean, you started on a Thursday.
Right,
so
it's kind of hard to say.
It's kind of half a week the first time. So, and then if you look at, you know, the players around the league in terms of, you know, how guys are doing, I like kind of doing this, mm-hmm. you know, in terms of the batting leaders. And when you look at it by ops, and Mookie Betts.
Just having a season.
Yeah, it's amazing. He's playing shortstop, and he's playing, I think, almost a Gold Glove quality shortstop so far, whether or not that's going
to... He's first in the National League in OPS, leading the National League in home runs, has 11 RBIs, only, you know, just hitting .395. I mean, he's just playing out of his mind right now. And he's just off to a racing start, which is great because Ohtani hasn't come racing out of the gate like people kind of expected. But I got to think that whole scandal is definitely taking its toll on him, at least in his ability to focus.
And of course, Ohtani isn't pitching this year, so his slam dunk hold on the most valuable player is going to be looser because now you don't evaluate him the same way you would were he pitching as well.
It certainly opened up his chance to not win. The MVP is wide open this year because he's not a slam dunk to win it, in a sense.
But other guys that have gotten off to good starts, Tyler O'Neill, let's talk about him first because he hit the home run that we talked about in our podcast last week on opening day for the fifth straight year, but he's got four home runs and he's got an ops of 1.293 right now.
Right, he's hitting great for the Red Sox, who have gotten off to a way better start than certainly you or I expected.
And I think that was one they didn't probably count on Tyler O'Neill coming out and doing that. That's
exactly
for sure. And the Giants have gotten a start from Michael Conforto that, you know.
Happy for Michael Conforto. Yeah. After all of the injuries, after all the problems, he really struggled. So it's good to see him coming out of the gate and playing well.
Other guys that have come out and had nice starts of the season, the catcher for the Angels, Logan O'Hop, he's got an 1167 ops, so he's been getting it done.
Another catcher that's been getting it done is Will Smith, who's leading baseball in average right now, hitting a clean .436 through his first 10 games.
So I guess they gave him the big contract, and he's decided responding. To say, hey, I'm going to come out and play great. MJ Melendez, there's a name you may not know too much about for the Kansas City Royals. A really nice player and having a really good start, so I like him, and I like young Ryan McMahon at third base for the Rockies, who also had that game-winning grand slam, which has got to be one of the most exciting things a player can do.
I think it was Frankie Montas that pitched yesterday for the Reds, and he had another very good start.
Oh, I didn't see. Well, no,
it wasn't Montas.
No, it wasn't Montas. He didn't pitch in the series against the Mets.
But he's been very good for the Reds.
Yeah, and I guess the Mets are pretty fortunate to miss him. Matt Olson showing that last year was not a fluke.
At least a start.
Got off to a real good start. I'm always surprised to see Marcelo Ozuna still getting it done for the Braves as well. Yeah, he just does. Volpe of the Yankees had a real nice start. Another Atlanta player, Michael Harris, is up there too. Man, they got a lot of players on that team that can just get it done. I like seeing Dansby Swanson up there. And how about Bryce Harper's announcement that I'm not quite done yet when he hits three home runs in one game?
He's come back. And Andrés Giménez is looking to have a bounce-back year after he kind of came down a little bit from his unbelievable, like, 6 or 8 WAR season the year before. He's off to a very hot start for the Guardians, who are doing great.
So on the pitching side, and it surprises, I guess, Imanaga has gotten off to a real nice start for the Cubs.
He's had two very good starts for them, so they have to be thrilled with his performance. He had a very good start the other day.
A guy we had in our fantasy team a few years ago, Paul Blackburn, has gotten off to a good... You know, he's not a great pitcher, but he can have stretches.
He's pitching
one right now. Then.
And Marcus Stroman has been a fantastic signing by the Yankees.
Yes.
He's pitched very, very well for them, and he's part of the reason why they're 7-2 in first place.
And, you know, all I will say for Marcus Stroman is, you know, keep pitching and show us what you got in September when the games really, you know, are critical for the Yankees to win at the end of the season.
Kansas City with Brady Singer and Seth Lugo looked like they made some real good moves this offseason, that they've been getting some quality starts from their pitching, and Bobby Witt Jr. has played great to start the season too for them.
Yeah, I you know, and Ray Cole Reagan's also, you know, for Kansas City, and I don't think you believe they're going to sustain that, and you had a little more faith in their pitching signings like Waka and Lugo and all that than I do long term. Remember,
long term,
we're just in the second week of the season, so it's nice to get up.
Sean Manet
is on this list, so let's be
is a point of the season where you can't use the performance so far to forecast things out. But you know, another couple weeks of this, by the time we get to April. Okay, that's a month of the season gone. You kind of can't start dismissing what guys have done up to that with just it's the first month of the season.
Right. All these guys that we're talking about have two starts.
Right. Once everybody gets up to, like, I'd think, like, between 6 and 8 starts, that's when you kind of know guys and they've shaked out.
He's
for
got
season.
Something. Or,
he's figured something out this year.
So, I think the hitting came around pretty quickly because that first few games of the season, there were not a lot of runs scored, and it was very, very difficult for teams to do anything. So what else? Teams coming up this week, we have a couple of interesting series.
Any ones you're particularly looking forward to in terms of, like, any ones you think are going to be interesting for this early? You know, I mean, obviously the Mets-Braves series coming up to start the week is always an interesting preview for beginning of the year NL East battle, certainly for the Mets coming off of their struggling.
Yeah,
I'd love to have a good series in Atlanta.
I think you wish you were not going, to Atlanta for 4 games at this point in the season.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something. The best series, I think, are going to be the Astros are finishing up with the Rangers tomorrow, and then they go to Texas to play the Rangers.
Oh, so they're playing like a back-to-back
at the end
series.
Of the week. Well, no, there's a series in between. I think
So the Rangers are going to Houston for next weekend. Okay,
right. They're in Houston next weekend for 3 games. So I think that's going to be interesting because those two teams are going to, I think, separate themselves. And no shade on the Mariners fans, but they're gonna go to Toronto and try to take care of the.
I think another series that's going to be interesting to pay attention to next week is going to be the Cardinals playing the Diamondbacks. Both of those teams are not doing so hot out of the gate, and both of those teams were expected to perform much better. So that's going to be an important series, as sort of a get right, like, okay, let's get moving in the right direction here.
I'd rather see the Cardinals pound the Phillies in St. Louis, but I'm not sure that that's going to happen.
No, I don't think that's going to happen either.
So I think Lance Lynn is up to his tricks again in terms of throwing balls that go over the fence eventually. The Pirates, you know, they're going to play the Tigers, so you've got two teams that
are playing really well,
a really good start. So that could be interesting before the Pirates go to Philadelphia and play 4 games with the Phillies.
I think that'll show you a lot about this Pirates team. If they continue to play hot through that, you're like, okay, I got to give this team respect until they're not earning it at that point.
A team we're not talking much about are the Rays, and they're on the West Coast right now playing the Angels. I think they need those games in order.
Again, another series we're going to get to learn about both of those teams.
Let's not let the other teams get too far away from us because everybody's already given up
on
the Rays.
Angels, myself included. Right, and the Angels want to continue their good performance to start the year and kind of say, hold up, everybody, we might be a little bit more for real than you all thought.
Right. And it's a good thing the Marlins won their game today because they come to New York and play the Yankees for 3 games. And that could have really gone badly for them because they take a day off and they go and they play the Braves 3 games.
Ooh.
So had they not won that one game, there was a real possibility they could have gone like 0-14, like Orioles bad.
Right, but then again, knowing how baseball works, doesn't it seem like, oh yeah, you know what, the 0-10 Marlins squad would go in and like inexplicably sweep the Yankees for no reason or something.
And you mentioned the Twins scuffing a little bit early in the season. They are home entertaining the Dodgers for three games to start this week.
So, that's a tough series with a red hot Mookie Betts to come into town.
So right, and the Twins, you know, don't want to let them get too far. And it would, I think it would mean something still, right? If you're the Twins and the Dodgers come to town, and you're scuffling a little bit, and you take two of the three from the Dodgers,
right?
Doesn't that kind of set you off in a good way?
And it's the kind of thing that sends you up, you know, shooting up the power rankings, which I think is interesting because I know how much you despise power rankings, especially this early in the season.
So I put that in there going, I was looking at them the other day going, how can you have power rankings after eight games? You know, we're going to start evaluating like, oh yeah, these teams, they moved up in the power. You can't move up in that power. You got to play for like 2 months and then you can look at, okay, what's really happening here?
I think you can start having power rankings at least if you're only looking at, if I'm only evaluating the first eight games of the season and I'm not looking at where I expect the teams to be at the end of the season, who has played the best in the first eight games of the season and let me rank them based on that, I think that's a bit of a silly exercise, but I can understand how you could come up with a power ranking list based on that criteria.
And let's face it, whether it's The Athletic or Bleacher Report or any of the, you know, the platforms, you want to have reasons for people to come and read your content, so you put hot takes
right
in there
and
in
you
your
know what?
Power
I'm
rankings.
Say this, as much as I might want to say power rankings are dumb, I also care that the Mets are high on them because I want people to think that they're a good baseball team because that matters to me.
Only because you really know what's going on the field and it makes you nervous to watch.
Right, exactly. But it's like, no, I like it when my team is ranked high. Other people are like, yeah, the Mets are really good, and that means I just joking around. But yeah, it's funny how power rankings are bunk, but we all care about them on some level.
The Orioles will have the Red Sox coming. They'll be going to Boston and playing the Red Sox, because the Red Sox haven't been any home games before coming home to face Milwaukee and then Minnesota. So the Orioles... A couple of nice plays by Gunnar Henderson in the field out there. I'm impressed with his ability at shortstop.
I think 5-4 out of the gate.
They're going to be fine.
It's early on. They're the kind of team where, again, I think maybe not next weekend, but the weekend of the 23rd or the weekend of the 30th. I think if you're still at 500 then in the Orioles, you're now a little bit more like, okay, what's going on? Like, people are going to point to the Braves run that they had a couple of years ago where they played out of their mind in 2022 down the stretch to win the division over the Mets. That was a historic performance for a reason. That's not something you can point to as your team's performance. It's like, well, the Braves did it. We can do that too. No, that was an outlier, and teams don't play at 800 winning percentage clips for 6 out of the 8 months of the season too often. So you cannot be sitting here as a team thinking, oh yeah, we can just turn it on like that.
I think it was, they were talking the other day, and I heard them say, I think it was Bobby Valentine or one of the older managers. So how many games does it take for you to evaluate where a team is? And he said 45. And I thought, well, that's a really interesting number.
Right.
45. So that is basically not... maybe
slightly more than 25%.
2 months? Right. It's not a third of the season. It's less than that. So you can evaluate your team and say, okay, this team has a chance, you know, to do something, or we're not it. And that's not very far into the season. I think baseball fans would probably think it should take longer for you to evaluate the team.
45 seems pretty reasonable. The team's not – it's very unlikely that you're going to see a massive shift.
Right, because the way you play is the way you play. By that time, it's going to be determined.
Right. It's unlikely that suddenly, like, oh, yeah, everybody then just played way better for the last 120 games of the year.
If you're a team that's known to grind out at bats and to
– you might get a few more wins, but you're not going to go from being a 500 team to a 750 team.
Yeah. What I meant about grinding out of bats is that if you're known as a team that can do that, you can think that can expect. But if you're not a team that grinds out at bats, to flip the script all of a sudden after 45 games and become this team that just takes a lot of pitches.
Or
you're
a team
really
that struggled with good starting pitching and bullpen, and now you're going to have lockdown
starting not likely
pitching
to bullpen. Be
flipped. That doesn't just happen.
Right. So I think that's how we're looking at it. And we're a long way from that happening, because I guess you'll probably have 45 games.
Sometime in late May.
Yeah, near the end of May. So, and that makes sense. By June 1st, and we did this last year.
Yeah, you kind of know.
June 1st, you're like,
so
yeah.
So let's look forward to June 1st and see where we are.
Yeah, because we still got a lot of interesting stuff, early season stuff to sort out here.
Thank you for listening. You can follow us on your favorite podcast platform or follow us on YouTube, where we have video form of these podcasts.
Or you can also follow us on social media, on Insta, on Twitter, or on Facebook at Almost Coop. Thanks for listening.